All right, time for another Tacky Talk with State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy. Hi, Tacky.
Morning, Joe. Good to see you again on another Friday. This actually is going to be a beautiful Friday and beautiful weekend for a change. We've been having some rough Fridays between the two of us.
I know. It looks pretty good for the Flag Day Parade. Are we going to see you marching this year?
I'll be there. I believe it's still a 7 o'clock kickoff like it normally is. And just a quick walk down Hancock Street from Queens Center to Marymount Park. And as opposed to a barbecue or anything else, it looks like it's just to say some hellos and fireworks at the beach.
Yeah, it's going to be the first, I think, big in-person event for a lot of people. So I think a lot of folks are anticipating at least being able to greet each other, if from 6 feet away or not, at least to see them in person.
I agree. I've been able to go to a few more events actually this week alone, plus actually been in a restaurant to eat dinner, and my comfort level is gradually getting better as I'm out. But also know that the Chowder Fest is on in Hell's Neck. If you see the Facebook community page, it's going to be Saturday, September 11th. There's also going to be Family Fun Day in Hell's Neck on July 3rd. So, I think things are gradually coming back to life. Philip at Queens Asian Resources indicates they want to try to pull off an August Bloom Festival. It'll be a much more trimmed down version. So we'll see how it goes. I think a lot of people are preparing, even if it's not a full scale event, at least an event at some level, some point, the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, it's May 29th is when the restrictions were lifted. And of course, coming up Tuesday, June 15th, the state of emergency comes to an end. I know some action's been taken at the legislature this week to extend some of those orders, right?
Yeah, the Senate has passed a bill to extend some of those orders. It's I'm not sure what we're doing in the House yet, to be perfectly honest. So the Senate, did some of those orders and kind of overextended themselves. We did some stuff in the supplemental budget as well yesterday. So one of the things that are a big deal is they decided to extend takeout alcohol and cocktails at restaurants to next year of March of 2022. They also expanded outdoor dining to April of next year as well. But the language in the back of the bill is confusing me a little bit about exactly how they did it. Those who don't realize this, there is no public hearing or public notification requirement for outdoor dining. It just happens. So if you live near a restaurant, which in Quincy, there aren't too many places that have residential areas directly abutting a restaurant facility. But some communities there are like very close residential to restaurants. Like we're talking within less than 100 feet, like really close. Suddenly there's a pop-up outdoor dining. You don't know what happened. It's because the governor set it up that you don't have to tell anybody. So it appears that the Senate is continuing that processes. Like I said, I was reading it last night. It's a little bit confusing that then. They want a continuation of the quorum of public meetings through the Zooms. They're going to extend that out. They made some moves in quite a few areas. And the House has got the bill last night, and we're looking at what our options are going into next week. Given the fact that deadline's very close on June 15th, this is going to be a tight one. So we got basically the weekend, and I have to check the schedule later today, but I suspect we're going to be in session Monday or Tuesday for a really rapid conversation about how this is going to play out, which is going to bump heavily into my hearing schedule. Because I'm running public hearings next week and a few other things going on Tuesdays, and I'm on the move. So we'll see what happens. But we also voted to do mail-in ballots.
Yes.
Part of the supplemental budget, especially looking at the municipal elections this fall. We've talked about this before. I'm still a head scratcher regarding the constitutionality of this. In fact, that absentee ballots very specifically state how they operate in the Constitution. So I'm not sure this is going to play out. To be honest with you, we'll see what the Senate does. And I suspect a whole bunch of people in election law legalese who are much better than I am are also in the process of scratching their heads trying to figure it out.
Interesting. I know I've talked to the city clerk here in Quincy. She is prepared to move forward with mail-in and early voting if it's so approved.
Yeah, right now we have mail-in ballots, but stay tuned. It could be early voting as we move along. We'll see what the town clerks come up with. Obviously, that's, we do take some guidance from them as we move forward.
Okay. How is the quote-unquote power struggle going between the legislature and the governor regarding the federal pandemic relief money, Jackie?
Well, the power struggle has been very, very quiet power struggle from the governor's office. We created a special trust fund to migrate $5.3 billion, I got my numbers back, it's $5.3 billion, the stimulus dollars into there. The money has to be spent over a three-year period, so it isn't like a $5.3 billion drop in one day. We are actually one of a few states that got the lump sum. Most states are getting theirs over multi-year disbursement, so this is actually very unique to us. Unlike cities and towns, the majority of this money is non-discretionary, meaning it has to be applied to specific projects. So while we sort that out, Mass Taxpayer Foundation has put out some guidance on their analysis. Mass Taxpayer Foundation is a business-funded not-for-profit who does analysis, and it's basically a type of watchdog group regarding fiscal issues in the state. And they believe that about $1.1 billion of that is discretionary. I mean, we have a lot of options where we can use that money. So we're still trying to sort it out. A lot of it is dedicated to education, transportation, water, sewer infrastructure, and then a very broad concept of public health, ranging from COVID-related to like COVID-related mental health. So it's actually a pretty broad definition as far as they can see. But again, it has to be somewhat directly tied to COVID in one form or another.
Yeah.
So we're going to work it out as we go along. I suspect, again, sometime this fall, if not a little sooner, we're going to start having some debates about how to do disbursement. We are having meetings. I got a meeting coming up with the chair of State Administration Regulatory Oversight about what I'm thinking on some of these funds. I suspect the chairs will be reaching out in different committees, like transportation and others, to the membership to see what they're thinking.
Okay. I know that some of the funds were already released to some of the quote-unquote hard-hit communities. So will there be more for those communities too, or is that it?
I don't know if that's it. That money wasn't directed to us. That was directed to the governor directly from the administration.
Okay.
So the Biden administration released those funds directed to governor first. And won't be the last. You're going to see that as well. Certain funds will bypass us if there's preordained, so to speak. It's already been directed where it's going.
Yeah.
But not all the funds are coming through the state. For example, the $46 million in stimulus that City of Quincy got bypassed the legislature. We didn't appropriate that money. We didn't direct that money. We didn't even see that money in the offers. That went straight to the City of Quincy. And I believe, something like $200 million? I saw in the Patriot Ledger. I can't remember the exact number, but it's like, it's a substantial amount of money went straight to Norfolk County, which I promise you, Norfolk County has never seen that much money.
Right, I mean, they don't have a lot of revenue sources, the registry deeds, the golf courses, things like that, but that's about it,
Yeah, but they've never seen that money before. I mean, most of the counties are going to get sums and never seeing the existence of a county. The majority of that money will be redispersed back to cities and towns.
Okay.
And there will be a formula for you to do that, but it's up to the clerk, the county commissioners to decide how to do those redisbursements in some form that's, proportionate to the size of communities, but
right.
They have some flexibility figured out. So Quincy will be getting more money. Actually, every community in the state will be getting some more money via the county system.
Okay.
During the pandemic, the counties did get money, but given the severity of the state of emergency, with the height of the, particularly once we moved into the height of the first wave,
mm-hmm.
That the county actually gave us that money to the state to help address a lot of the COVID-related costs.
Right. State was much better equipped to distribute it than the county's governments, certainly. In other parts of the country, county government's very strong, but not so much around here.
Oh, absolutely. Some parts of the country, the county government runs the hospital system, the social service system, not just prisoners like we do here and some local public safety. They run the entire healthcare network.
Yeah.
So given the fact that all the stimulus bills the federal government put out is not customized per state, it is a one-size-fits-all situation. you know, this is what happens. So they have to put some provisos in for states that do not have a strong or functional county governments, or even county governments at all.
Right.
To do disbursements as opposed to spending it themselves. So again, it reflects the fact that, you know, we live up here, we're very provincial, but we tend to forget that once we leave Massachusetts, those forms of governments are very different from ours.
It's very true. Yes. Even in New Hampshire, actually, there's a stronger system for countywide, just because it's more rural, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you're able to do localized resources and you can tell us locally. So, you know, I always point places like Texas in particular. The legislature is actually extremely weak. It's a very weak state government. The counties really control everything.
Yep.
Florida is our example. County government is much more powerful than the state government. And those states have part-time legislatures.
Mm-hmm.
Very part-time legislatures. You know, they run, you know, I don't believe they run a full 9 months in 2 years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So it's a completely differing operating structure.
Yeah.
So those county elections become much more important.
Yes. Yes. Travelers to southern states, beware. County sheriffs have a lot of authority, and county judges too.
Yeah. If you guys move out of the state to, yeah, right, to the south, especially the south and Midwest, you know, definitely be prepared to change how you talk to your politicians. And also, more importantly, look at how your tax bill works. It's very different. So just because the state has no income taxes or low income taxes doesn't mean you don't have county taxes and county services. So when you do a lot of these tax analysis, you know, regarding states, they don't always filter down to that next level of government that has taxation powers beyond the state.
Yeah. Was there action taken on the quote-unquote millionaires tax this week, Tacky?
Yeah, we took a vote this week to send it to the ballot in 2022. So there were more than sufficient number of legislators to vote in favor of putting on a ballot. So come up on 2022 November, you get a chance to vote on providing a increase income tax for every person making more than $101 million. It's pretty simple. Add another 6%. And that might be dedicated towards education and transportation funding.
Okay. How did you vote on it?
I voted yes. I voted yes before. I voted yes this time. And it's up to the voters to decide if they want to vote yes. It actually be a very interesting vote to observe. Historically speaking, when you put a ballot question to remove a tax, it happens.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
I've never seen anybody put anything on a ballot that involves taxes and not result in a no. This is actually be a very interesting part because unlike other tax proposals, this actually affects a very small segment of the Massachusetts population.
Right.
I think in Quincy, there's not even 5 people that make more than $1 million that would be affected by this particular tax. It's a very small part of the population. So it'll be interesting to see how the voters respond to this. I suspect it'll be a pretty strong advertising campaign by wealthy people to advertise against this.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if proponents have any money to advertise in favor of this.
Yeah.
Very simple question. But I think that advertising campaign was, we can continue talking next year, but the advertising campaign next, you know, October, November on this matter, but actually pretty fascinating.
Yeah, and this is a little different. I know that Senator Warren has been talking about a wealth tax, which is completely different. Do you think that's a better way to go?
Actually, my personal opinion is, you know, we should do a minimum tax. I mean, everybody should pay some kind of bare minimum. And then the thing is that the way the tax code's set up at the state and federal level, but even more federal than state, to be honest with you. Because the federal tax code is much more complex and so many other moving parts of deductions and credits and exemptions and so forth, that, you know, you end up not paying any taxes. As you've seen in the news, you know, guys like Jeff Bezos pays zero personal income taxes.
Right.
I know a lot of their income is passive. I mean, you know, it's all stock driven, and because they just reduce the size of their salary the longer they're there.
Right.
You know, we get that. But, you know, that passive income doesn't become taxable income until you actually take it out at some level. And I kind of get that too. But it is still taxable even if you generate passive income, even if you don't take it out.
Okay.
So it's, look, I mean, it's a federal tax code game, and someone could get conflated with the state tax code. And it's really two different issues. Well, there are a lot of commonalities and identical.
Yeah.
And I think that happens to the public a lot. They work in a presumption that, you know, it's a federal versus state, federal versus state tax code. Well, we do have a lot of similarities that tie them together, like student loan deduction, because I still have student loans, mm-hmm. you know, actually are tied together for the sake of ease. That you can fill it in Fed, you can fill it on the state, and just mm-hmm. use the same formula calculation.
Right, right.
Conversely, we talked about this before, the senior circuit tax break on real estate is strictly a state tax credit. It doesn't exist in the federal level.
Yep.
So, I mean,
it doesn't
always the same. I think people tend to think they're the same thing, but they're not. Like, they're a graduated tax, we're a flat income tax.
To me, that's the most inequitable part of it, is the flat tax rate, because, you know, 5% of somebody making $50,000, they're going to be paying a lot larger portion of their income to taxes than somebody making $150,000.
Yeah, it's inequitable, but it's not the most progressive. I mean, the most progressive taxes is property taxes.
Right.
Because value of property does not reflect value of cash.
Yeah, it should not be called property taxes. It should be called something else, because it has nothing to do with the property.
No, it's very aggressive. And the sales tax is highly aggressive because, as you point out, it's a flat tax. So your ability to pay a sales tax or a luxury tax or use tax or whatever kind of tax on goods and services, you know, for a person that's worth $100 million versus a person that's worth $50,000, or it's like a world apart in terms of conversation of taxation. Flat taxes is follows the same principle, where you know, if you're all paying the same amount, then the disproportional impact is always going to be on the person that pays less. The problem we have is that certain portions of the population don't pay anything. And this whole trickle down economics makes no sense to me, because, you know, you have a lot of money, but you're not buying stuff at the local pizza shop that keeps the economy moving. You know, people buy yachts. That does nothing for the majority of the population regarding economic stimulus. I mean, these are all arguments. I look, listen, it was like, have you, like, I visited a place that built yachts. In a Taiwan trip as part of my many travels overseas, it feels like. But I wish we could have travel overseas again. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's true. I mean, those things are like $1 million in maintenance. You need to hire a crew of five, and you eat a whole lot of fuel for a thing that leaves the port once every like year in many cases. And I'm using a rather extreme example regarding a yacht. Yeah. But, you know, this is kind of the reality. I mean, a wealthy car doesn't result in more local stimulus. I mean, the person, and we learned through the pandemic, you and I, as local folks who are not wealthy, run the economy.
Mm-hmm.
We kept the restaurant going the best we could. We try to do local retail the best we could. We run the online shopping. You know, but adversely, you have these kind of effects in gas stations because we weren't driving as much. So if you want an example of, you know, what drives the economy, you yourself listen to this at home is the reason the economy works. And as I've been saying constantly, you know, please, you know, comply with the health standards. And even now I tell people business has heightened sanitation and mask wearing because they continue to be concerned about COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Just be polite and comply.
Yeah.
Because you're the one that's actually keeping their economy going.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. No question. It's a lot of power in the middle class and the upper middle class, for sure. I think people are realizing for the first time the power they do have.
Oh, absolutely. And you saw G7 this week discuss a minimum corporate tax of 15%, because, you know, corporations don't always, or many times don't actually pay their taxes, get a lot of it refunded back to them or to move the money in a manner that can't be taxed, particularly offshore. So like companies like Apple, for example, is very cash rich, just not in the United States. They bury the money in other countries that have their essential tax havens. But that results in them not spending money back into U.S. infrastructure for their business. So it has all kinds of ripple effects that if they don't have the money here, they can't spend the money here because they get taxed on it. But on the flip side, they do bring it if they are trying to hide their money and there's no tax on it, then the taxpayers don't get anything and they don't actually have to spend the money
right
in the U.S. And it is an interesting question, particularly after the G7 nations agreed to this concept of minimum corporate tax, meaning everybody pays a minimum. Europeans actually find our tax systems fairly confusing. Actually, most of the world finds our confusing because when they have their income, when taxes take out of their income, that's it. There's no like mystery here. There's no like a bazillion deductions. There's no refunds. There's no overpayment. That is it.
Yeah.
And I think that's much more fair to everybody. If the government would just say, we're taking this percentage out of you based on this income bracket, end of story. I think our lives would be a lot easier. But then again, the flip side, you don't get, you know, you wouldn't get tax credits either.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, wouldn't have the senior circuit breaker. You wouldn't have, you know, other types of tax credits in the back of your tax bill. So on one side, I really like the idea that I just don't have to deal with it again as a taxpayer.
For the simplicity of it. Yeah, exactly.
But on the flip side, you know, it could adversely affect certain folks.
Yeah, well, it's that's the nature of our democracy, right? It's confusing.
It is confusing, and taxation is always extremely confusing.
Yeah,
and we always want something for free. It's been my experience in government my whole life. People want stuff. They don't care how you pay for it because it's not their problem, and it's always going to be the legislature and the governor's problem for how to fund programs or cut programs. That people may not need or want anymore. You know, maybe something comes obsolete or we just can't fund it anymore. But conversely, I've never heard one person ever tell me, I want you to take away my program. That will never happen. I can promise you that. I get the right to go over to say, you should reduce taxes by taking away something I receive as a, whether it be a tax credit, whether it be a healthcare issue, a housing issue.
Yep.
Whether it be deductions for student loans, would be deductions for rent, would be deductions that we provide for adopting kids. You know, a lot of things are in there. So if you're one of the beneficiaries, you know, I will promise you, no one ever says you should take that away from them.
And that's the nature of public service tagging that you've been doing for so long.
Yes, it's definitely one of those things.
It's
one consistent thing in my life, very consistent.
Yeah. Have to keep it kind of short this week because of time constraints, but anything else you wanted to let us know about?
At this stage of the game, you know, there's going to be a lot more activity coming to the Hill. You know, if people are interested, you can look at my Facebook. There's more Facebook Live hearings and the awkwardness of Facebook Live hearings. It wants me being very awkward. Visit, you know, State Representative Tacky Chan's Facebook page. There'll be starting this past Monday and this coming Monday, there'll be a lot going on. You know, the COVID numbers are getting much better overall. We'll touch on really fast. COVID numbers are getting better really quickly as we're moving down into triple-digit infection, daily infection rates. So the vaccines do matter, they do work. It's not just about warm weather and outdoors because even last year's warm weather and outdoors, we still had pretty strong numbers. So vaccines matter. So, you know, please do that. And, there's redistricting issues that are coming through. We won't get our census numbers again September 30th unless the feds move into the timetable. We actually had to change the law this week. We're going to try to change the law. The Senate has the bill now, but the House voted on the bill that's in the Senate to let the legislature draw its lines ahead of the cities and towns. This does not mean the state's going to draw the precinct lines or the wards. Depending or districts, depending what town or city you live in, everyone calls it different. But in Quincy, we're not going to change. We're not going to write the lines for the city of Quincy, but we're going to get to draw these our own districts using the most recent census data ahead of it. And I'm still not sure how this is going to work, but we shall see as we move forward. I think you're going to see a very, very, very hectic situation with. Cities and towns and the state on drawing our districts. But those who don't realize in the Massachusetts Constitution, particularly for state representatives, you have to live in the district for one full year from the prior election to run for state representative.
Yeah.
So more so than any other part of government, state representatives are under a serious crunch to ensure that people who desire to run for office in a state representative district has the opportunity to do so.
All right. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, website, phone number?
617-722-2014, 617-722-2014. We're still operating remotely, so smash a button. so to speak, and leave a voicemail. We'll get back to you. And tacky.chan@mahouse.gov, tacky.chan@mahouse.gov. We will see your email when we get it. So I do sift through it on my phone every day. There's a lot.
Thanks a lot, Tacky. Good to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Good to talk to you, and I'll see you in a week or so.
All right. Be well.
Be well. Bye.